This is Steve Hiles welcoming you to episode 17 of the Teacher Rockstar Podcast, a place where tips and strategies critical to the new teacher are discussed. In today's episode, we will be discussing how teachers can differentiate instruction to address the needs of all students. But first, a word from our sponsor. Teachers, I'd like to share with you my free Let's Write a Book activity for grades 3 through 5 students, which includes templates and step-by-step directions for creating their very own mini-book. Just know your students will love this activity. It would be a great writer's workshop lesson. Simply go to getstartedontherightfoot.com. That's getstartedontherightfoot.com. Okay, new teachers, I think you will find this episode chock full of valuable information that you will be able to implement in your own classrooms. Well, let's dive right in. Regardless of what grade you teach, you need to be aware that there will be students that may need their instruction modified in some way. If you as a teacher can adapt your instruction and methods of teaching according to the diversified learning abilities of your kids, you can make your classroom environment more engaging and effective. This technique is called differentiated instruction. Now, before we dive into learning how this method can be implemented, let's discuss the particulars, okay? There is no specific definition per se to define this method precisely. Still, the closest thing we can get to explain the term is when the teacher adapts the instruction depending upon the needs of their students while the curriculum remains consistent. Does this make sense? It varies across the classroom, of course, and the subject. Solely depends on the needs of the kids. The idea behind differentiated learning theory is to make sure your curriculum reflects the diverse needs of your students. Each student enters the classroom with unique experiences, preferences, and conditions that affect how they learn. Differentiated instruction provides students with different resources or options for understanding and mastering a concept depending on their unique needs. This can help move your classroom from heterogeneous instruction toward individualized learning. On the other hand, it does not mean that a teacher has to give separate assignments to individual students or groups. Instead, it's about minor changes to the same assignment that caters to the needs of different students. It provides the student with a chance to learn differently just by having an option. At the end of the day, the focus should be on learning instead of ranking different children with different interests and abilities on a unified benchmark or a grading system that approves or rejects if they know the subject. Now that we have the basic idea, let's take an in-depth look at the steps to implement differentiated instruction in the classroom. There can be many different ways around the same idea, but some principles remain the same. Some teachers may find it difficult and perhaps time-consuming, but in reality, it's really a two-way street. The more that the teacher practices differentiated learning, the more it enhances the teacher's abilities and makes the methods more effective and more comfortable than ever for the teacher. Now, I want to discuss with you four critical elements of individualized learning. And here they are: content, process, product, and learning environment. We will talk about them in detail in a moment. Understandably, teachers cannot control every aspect of learning constrained by school policies and curriculum applied by the educational authorities. But there are things that we can do. The first key element in individualized learning is content. The content consists of concepts, knowledge, and skills that students are expected to learn. However, not every student comes to the classroom with the same prior knowledge. And that's a very important point to key in on. Scaffolding or building steps of gradually diminishing support into instruction helps ensure that all students have access to your classroom content. Here are some ways to modify and scaffold the content in your classroom. The teacher can explicitly teach definitions of grade level vocabulary words before reading a story to make the less capable students warm up for the coming lesson. Playing videos and conducting presentations to fill in content gaps before introducing a new concept. Students tend to ask questions if they do not understand something from the presentations without hesitating. Increase the number of steps needed for assignments or projects, or decrease for gifted learners. You can highlight important information or key terms in a text to increase students' focus on the lesson being taught. Step 2. Process. Students with various learning styles process information in different ways. Some students require one-on-one attention from a teacher to grasp a concept. Others may benefit from independent work sessions. You can adjust the learning process in your classroom in several ways. You can play audio recordings of stories while students read along to assist both auditory and visual learners. Use learning apps that permit students to work at their own pace. Allow students to choose research topics by interest rather than assigning a prompt. Even design jigsaw activities that enable higher-level students to guide and assist their peers, I think, is an awesome idea. You can create learning stations for groups to rotate through. Use an instructional aid at one of the groups to check for understanding and help struggling readers. Incorporate hands-on activities with math manipulatives, science experiments, and language arts projects. Permit students who need more time to complete their work at home or in learning centers. Okay, step number 3, product. What students produce is a demonstration of what they have learned, also known as an assessment. While some students may succeed with straightforward worksheets, others require a variety of assessment options. Use these ideas to change up your product expectations in a differentiated lesson. Provide students with options for final assessment projects, including portfolios, music videos, plays, one-pagers, and even Lego creations. Have small groups express the mood of a story or book with an art project or an interpretive dance. Vary timelines and deadlines based on student needs and abilities. Customize rubrics to match and extend different student skill levels. Assign specific roles to members of groups based on strengths and areas that need improvement. Let students choose which questions they like to answer on an assessment that varies in difficulty. I find this to be a really great method here. Lastly, step number 4, learning environment. A student's learning environment includes a physical classroom and can affect the student's emotional attitude toward education. These factors can have a huge impact on educational success. Here are some ways of modifying the learning environment for every student in your class. I mean, if you can, and if it's feasible, include standing desks and wiggle chairs as seating options in your classroom. Teach multicultural literature that represents the backgrounds of students in your classroom. Prominently list expectations and parameters for assignments on a classroom poster. Take stretch breaks or play physical games during transitions. Design short lessons to maintain student attention and interest. Keep classroom decorations to a minimum to avoid overstimulating learners. Check in with students' emotional health using classroom journals, one-on-one talks, and behavior charts. Let students decorate their learning portfolios or book covers. Now, I want to talk to you about physical activity here. New teachers, this should be a goal for you. Your goal should be to have your children in your classroom during the instructional day up and moving for at least 20 minutes of physical activity per day. Now, I'm not talking about, recess or going to the gym. This is in addition to, okay? So shoot for it. A goal of 20 minutes a day. Bring research really bears this point out real well. If a student might work more efficiently in a quieter learning environment, for example, you could allow them to complete the project in the school library. Suppose you think a student would respond to a more visual approach with vocabulary words. In that case, you might want to adjust the content to include images with each word, or simply adjust the product by assigning them to draw a picture that represents the words. This is a really good, powerful strategy for your ELL students. Additionally, don't get overwhelmed by the feeling that you have to make all your assignments unique for every single kid in your classroom. Some students may have specific needs that require you to adjust your assignments or teaching strategy, but in many cases, you can practice differentiated learning by either breaking students with similar needs into groups or offering all students several options for completing an assignment. Overall, the best way to practice differentiated instruction is by getting to know your kids. As you work with them over the school year, you'll be better able to understand their needs and what types of assignments they respond to. Now, just as important, you'll be able to help them recognize their strengths and learning preferences, which can help them seek out the right learning strategies through their academic career. Now, before you begin teaching a new lesson, you should examine past assessments, collected data, work samples, and student observations to ideally identify specific instructional strengths for each student. Then you can change the process of the learning experience by assigning different tasks to different learners. Now, new teachers, this bears pointing out, very important here, when you are introducing a brand new lesson, okay, I would recommend preparing a diagnosis for your kids. Now, it could be the form of a pretest, a thinking map, a short written assignment, or some other appropriate form of assessment. The reason being is this: why teach students something that they already have mastered? I mean, does that really make sense? When you can simply assign those students something more challenging while teaching those who haven't mastered the concepts the lesson. A good way to differentiate the learning process is to have a series of tiered assignments for your lessons. By creating a variety of related tasks at varying difficulty, you'll be able to give specific tasks to certain groups or individual students based on their skill level. They can then work their way up to the highest assignment. You'll want to make sure that you are continually assessing students' progress with class time and providing them with relevant feedback that will help them work towards their educational goals. Now, another great way to ensure you're meeting students where they are is to have them participate in student-centered activities. When the classroom shifts from being teacher-centered to student-centered, okay, students are more engaged and invested in their own learning. Plus, students are constructing their knowledge, which is a more effective way to learn. Provide opportunities for students to work with their peers toward a common goal. Students should need to rely on each other to achieve their tasks, so to be sure to assign students roles and clear expectations through direct instruction. This will help keep, you know, collaboration and cooperation from becoming a free fall or a time for some students to check out while their partners do everything. Activities such as Think, Pair, Share, Chalk Talk, and Jigsaw are very easy ways to shift the focus in your classroom and encourage students to take ownership of their learning. Games and problem-solving activities are especially effective for cultivating collaborative and critical thinking skills in young students. Using objectives is another great way to incorporate spiral review. Periodically revisiting material that students have mastered into your teaching practice. Consider starting each lesson with a review of previous day's objectives. This will help to keep the material you're teaching fresh in your students' minds. Now, you want to make sure that you leave nothing to chance. Instead, use age and grade level appropriate language to describe to students exactly what their purpose, aim, or objective is. Explain the objective at the start of the lesson. Give students a rationale for why this learning is taking place. I mean, this is critical. Why are they learning this stuff? It needs to be relevant and make sense to the kids. Refer back to the objective throughout the lesson to check for understanding. Students who have mastered the day's objective should be able to articulate or otherwise demonstrate their mastery. Writing the instructional objective in a student-friendly language is especially beneficial for younger students. Encourage them to use the language themselves by repeating the objective after you, or just by filling in intentional pauses at key vocabulary. I find that to be very, very powerful as well. In addition to instructional objectives, language objectives are particularly helpful for learners with language differences. When paired with instructional objectives, language objectives tell students how you want them to complete their objective using which language domain. For example, students will identify parts of the body through speaking in complete sentences. Including instructional and language objectives as a regular practice is helpful for students of all abilities. Lastly, for students with more profound needs, consult the specialists in your school. Students with learning disabilities or physical impairments or who read far below grade level may need serious intervention. Now, you know, you want to make absolutely sure to familiarize yourself with the child's IEP or Section 504 plan. The special education teacher or reading specialist will likely create specific goals for the neediest of students. Meet these students at their level by working with them in small groups or providing individual instruction. Get creative with lessons for these few students by tying their goals into your instruction as often as you can. The more intensive, targeted instruction these students receive, the better chance they have of making gains. Invite the specialists into your classroom to assist these students often. Their presence in your classroom can free you up to better meet all of your students' needs. Well, this brings us to the end of another episode. Thanks for listening to the Teacher Rockstar Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Hiles. We hope you've enjoyed listening to these tips and strategies on differentiated instruction. And when you get a moment, visit my blog and subscribe to my newsletter for the latest educational research, freebies, and unadvertised bonuses at stevesclassroomresources.blogspot.com. That's stevesclassroomresources.blogspot.com. Don't forget to subscribe to us at the Teacher Rockstar Podcast. And if you'd like to support us, please feel free to share our podcast with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. That would be greatly appreciated. Thanks again, folks, and we'll see you same time, same place next week. And remember always, teachers, you got this.